Hey, welcome again to another episode of One Another Marriage with Dr. David and Teresa Mabry, where we seek to strengthen marriages so you can have greater satisfaction in your relationship and greater impact on the world around you. So we're glad to be with you again today. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there. In this episode, we are going to be finishing up our Love Step series, where we've been unpacking the one another's out of scripture and the curriculum that we have developed, and we've been covering love one another. And then the STEP is an acronym for serve one another, touch one another, edify one another, and have peace with one another. And so today it is P for peace. P for peace. So today our episode will be about how to have peace with one another. And we hope that you'll stick around and hear everything that we have to say about that.
So, what we find is that couples, like the two biggies, communication, conflict resolution.
Right.
And we hear this over and over again, and we kind of rephrase it with, you got to know how to talk with one another in a reasonable fashion, like healthy, grown adults, mature adults. And then the other thing is to be able to resolve conflict in a positive way.
Right.
Because conflict is inevitable. And that's conflict is part of relationships, and it happens all the time. So those two biggies will speak into about every area of your relationship. So if finances are an issue, communication, conflict resolution. If
partner sound habits,
if sex is an issue, then it's
children and parenting, whatever it is. Yeah.
Communication, conflict resolution.
There you go.
That's right.
And we've had a great time unpacking our material for all of the listeners out there. And we're excited to be kind of wrapping up the Love Step series here that we've been doing. And we have a lot of information to kind of get in on this P is for peace with another. But before we get to that, we have another P.
And
that one is puzzles.
Oh, puzzles. Hey, but I'm going to pull a fast one on you.
Oh, no.
Are you ready for this? And then we can do puzzles, but this is part of puzzles.
He does this all the time. He likes to put me on the spot and just fly out of left field here. Okay.
The good thing is that you didn't just give me the look that warns David to back off or change your course.
Every wife has a look.
It's a loving look. It is loving. It's not hateful or glaring or whatever.
I've perfected this look too.
That's right. So, but here you'll like this change.
Okay.
This insertion into the podcast.
I'm ready.
Because our puzzles typically are something we encourage couples to do on a regular basis to
connect with each other, build a deeper intimacy and conversation with each other.
Speaking of communication, right?
Sure.
So another piece that we encourage couples to do on a regular basis would be to talk about, some call it wishes, hopes, and dreams, or what we call it, our goals. And so, and those would be short-term, mid-range, or long-term goals, but you're always looking forward, because research would show that couples that do two primary things, share a daily appreciation for one another, and then continue to go back to one another with goal setting and planning and looking forward to having wishes, hopes, and dreams. So what I'm going to encourage us to do is we're going to model this, and then we'll encourage couples to do as well. So I'm going to, and I am doing this intentionally, because our goals and what I'm looking forward to is this weekend we celebrate our 28th anniversary.
That is correct.
And we're going to go to a baseball game. We're going to go watch the Cincinnati Reds in Cincinnati, Ohio.
Yes.
That's baseball for those of you who are out of the country, and we're going to have a great time. I'm looking forward to.
We are.
I'm looking forward. So my goals I want to share with you is I really look forward to celebrating our anniversary this weekend,
right?
And hanging out together.
It is going to be fun. It's going to be a fun time, and we're actually doing that on the actual anniversary day.
Yes.
You know, sometimes that doesn't always line up, but this year our anniversary happens to be on a Saturday, and we were able to block that off intentionally with no other appointments or anything else scheduled on there. So, 28 years, baby.
That's right.
Woo-hoo.
And I am looking forward to it. I love celebrating our anniversary.
So the listeners know, this was a joint effort in deciding what we were going to go do,
mm-hmm.
because
that's right.
I also enjoy watching sports and playing sports and being out. So this is not David must have chosen that. We do different things every year. Sometimes mm-hmm. we actually go do something and sometimes we don't, but mm-hmm. we try to just be together for some quality time in that way. But this year, yes, we both said, you know what? We haven't been to watch a baseball game in person, a major league baseball game in person in a while. So let's do that.
But here's the deal is that I appreciate you. I'm glad you made that clarification because I forget how... Like some have looked at you and mm-hmm. said, "Oh, I'm sorry, he's dragging you to that sporting event."
Right.
But I promise you, my friends, that Teresa Mabry loves her sports, she will sometimes drag me. Although I'm a huge, I love sports too, but she's leading the charge on that sometimes as well. So we're going to have a good time this weekend, and I'm looking forward to hanging out with you.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it as well, babe. So, right. Okay, yes, that was fine. You could throw that one, out of left field, literally.
Do you have a goals to share as well?
Do I have a goals? I'm also without piggybacking on that same one, mm-hmm. I'm also looking forward to celebrating the anniversary. And I would say too, that I'm looking forward to, I've been talking about this for a while. We've been talking about it for a while too. I need a new bike and I haven't had a bike in several years anyway. Looking forward to getting the bike here soon. And then you and I, can be riding together, because you already have yours and you ride.
Yep.
And so I'm looking forward to starting that because that's a new kind of a new interest and hobby, I would say.
That'd be good. Yeah. And to just keep getting exercise for both of us to get to exercise.
Right.
And to do it together. Right. I really love doing that.
Absolutely.
So that's a good one. I like that. So there you go, folks. There's a freebie today.
Goals. Yeah, okay.
Not like you're paying for anything. But.
I know. All right, so back to, puzzles. So in our podcast, we regularly share puzzles with the listeners, and these are puzzles that we would share with each other on a regular basis in our just daily communication.
Mm-hmm.
And we do not prep each other ahead of time for what the puzzle is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
So I have the puzzle this week, and so here's a puzzle, we have discussed this one briefly, but mm-hmm. I'm just going to bring it back up because mm-hmm. we both were thinking it. But we are in a Marvel movie
marathon,
like mm-hmm. right now. So,
yes.
Not that we're watching one every single day. Don't get that idea. But it just, I don't know. We got a wild hair about us, and it's like, hey, let's watch the Marvel movies in the timeline order.
But we'll do that sometimes, right?
Yes.
So we'll find.
Different movies,
the whole and they're rewatches for us, but
yeah, absolutely,
So we're watching
timeline order, right?
Cinemac,
which we have not, because when these movies all came out, I mean, like you just went to the theater to mm-hmm. watch the movie, right? But they didn't all come out within their regular timeline order or comic book order or whatever you want to say. And if you are a Marvel, crazy person out there, like no comments please about my lack of detail or whatever. So but the puzzle is and we've just begun this. The puzzle was, why is the Hulk not listed in the timeline order? And fortunately we caught it.
Disney Plus,
yes, but it's also not listed. We were on Disney Plus pulling up the timeline MCU timeline order, right?
Yeah.
And so, of course, there's a reason why they don't have the Hulk movie. But mm-hmm. then that led us to, well, technically, where is it supposed to be?
Yeah.
And then there's a whole separate discussion on mm-hmm. where it's supposed to fall and who. Hmm. And then you have the one from 2003, the one from 2008, the one had Ed Norton in it. And then he never gets asked to follow up in the Avengers. And that's when they switch characters to Mark Ruffalo, right? And so just that whole kind of craziness right there. But we caught it, you know, so that we had just finished Iron Man 2 and we were getting ready to watch Thor. And we had this like puzzle or question and boom, we were able to look up the answer and realized, hey, this is the spot. This is where you're supposed to watch it, right? But that whole puzzle of the Hulk itself and why, because now like when you go through the timeline order, you can see all the other ones that have had kind of like their individual movies or the ones that are coming out. You know, like Black Widows is coming out here soon this summer, right? And different ones. And why is it that the Hulk has not had, Mark Ruffalo in particular, has not had an independent Hulk film, even though he's made his special appearance in Thor Ragnarok, right?
That's
he came back in that one.
A prominent role there.
But yeah, what is it? Is that something that's with Mark Ruffalo? Or is that something within the Marvel Universe or whatever? I don't know. And I'm not even like, I'm not even saying like I'm a big proponent for there must be the independent Hulk movie with Mark Ruffalo. Because honestly, it doesn't matter to me. Like the Hulk is, I like it. I mean, he's okay, you know, whatever, but it's, I personally don't know that I would go spend my money to watch, you know, him on an independent one. There are others that I have enjoyed more, but it's just kind of funny because he is one of the Avengers. Well then, hello. Why? I mean, why? Why not? Yeah.
That's a good puzzle.
There you go.
That's a good puzzle.
I rambled for a little bit.
You did. I let you go, but I was curious about how deep you would go into the. Like, would you mention the Ang Lee...
Into the wormhole?
In the wormhole, that's right. Like, would you... The Ang Lee directorial effort at The Incredible Hulk... Well, Hulk, in 2003, which was horrific.
Which was... Yeah. I mean, we didn't watch that one.
No.
We didn't watch it in 2003. No. We didn't watch it here in 2021, either on a rewatch. But,
But
we chose to go with the 2008 Hulk... Ed Norton as the character. That's the one that we just watched.
Yeah, and it's a good puzzle as well. That's a good puzzle, hon, because all the ingredients are part of The Incredible Hulk with Ed Norton because it has the closing scene with Tony Stark coming in.
And the general.
And the general talking at the end, not to blow it for anybody, but...
Blow it? Seriously? You've had a lot of time.
13 years to watch this thing. So, and then the other one being that Stan...
Go to the YouTubes and you'll find it. There it is.
Stan Lee makes his cameo, like he does all the others as well.
As well as Lou Ferrigno. Hello. Because, like I told you, I mean, we are the age where we grew up watching... The TV version, the Hulk, Bruce Banner, which Lou Ferrigno played as the Hulk when he would turn into the Hulk. That was him. And so it was just so funny to see him as a security guard in position. It was like, okay.
You know what makes me realize is you and I need to start a second podcast that is exclusively puzzles.
Puzzles.
Should it be puzzles from Teresa's brain or maybe Teresa and David's brain? So,
I don't know.
Because we could do a whole podcast
We could.
You
we
have
could
some good
go,
ones.
We could go around and around.
Our apologies to those that are here for the marriage. the marriage information.
All right, now back to. Thank you for that commercial break.
The
reality, one another marriage.
The reality is, though, hon, the feedback we're getting is that actually people like these puzzles, and so
they do.
And I hope our hope though is that you're sharing puzzles with one another. Give each other permission to share those puzzles. And Teresa has full permission to turn to me at any time and say, you know what? I'm wondering about this and this and this.
What the what?
What the what?
Okay.
that's also what I am not going to edit that out. That is going to be glorious. to have in the podcast. Well, welcome one another, couples. We're glad that you're here to hear these puzzles and for us to dive into peace with one another, peace, which is the final part mm-hmm. of love step. Mm-hmm. Love one another, serve one another. We're just going to keep repeating these until you mm-hmm. you all learn it out there. And you'll hear this. It's kind of like those, we believe these are foundations for a healthy relationship is love step.
Right.
And so it's love one another, serve one another, touch one another, encourage or edify one another, and to have peace with one another.
Right.
And we have verses for this, once again, mm-hmm. because it's based on New Testament, the one another's of the New Testament, which are mm-hmm. all those verses, like 50 verses in the New Testament that use the two words one another in our English translations, right? And so it's, you know, so this one, our key verse, our foundation verse is out of Romans chapter 12, verse 16, which says simply, live in harmony with one another.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that does not mean, we'll circle back to this, I said it in our introduction, that does not mean that you'll be free from conflict, free from disagreement.
Mm-hmm.
You'll still, and there's a kind of an element that's real with relationships where you strive with one another.
Right.
Not against, even though sometimes you have difference of an opinion or views or approach on things. And sometimes it is, I'm striving against my partner.
Right.
But no, you're striving with, and sometimes you have these opposing views. It's kind of like a positive competition of ideas of sorts. So to live in harmony means that you handle those disagreements, those conflicts, those challenges, those stressors, you're handling it in a harmonious way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking a Fred Rogers kind of happy land at all times. If you imagine, like, it's like rainbows and kittens kind of thing. It really is. It's more of, you know what? This subject is ouchy. This subject is tough. This mm-hmm. subject is difficult. We really are in an impasse on this. But by golly, we're going to be harmonious with it. We're going to handle this in a positive way, even though I feel super emotional about this and it's a challenge. So that's the idea behind peace with one another, with our foundational verse of live in harmony with one another.
Right.
Don't put your head in the sand. Don't deny there's any conflict. Don't be a conflict avoider.
Sure.
But say, how can we live in harmony in the midst of the inevitable conflict?
Right, right. And so what we're going to unpack here right now is just, we're going to give a few other verses. We're going to give some bullet points about how to practice that peace with one another. And then we have some tools for success as well. So the 5 points that we're going to be covering, the first one is you want to, so remember, having peace with one another, with you and your partner, think the best to avoid setting a trap. And the verse out of that is out of Romans 14:13 says, therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacle in your brother's way.
I love that, mm-hmm. right? Because that's great wisdom, because let's take the second half. Let's flip the verse backwards, right?
Right.
So the second half is that don't put a stumbling block
right.
in the way of, in this case, say your partner, so mm-hmm. your husband or your wife, right? And so you don't want to put the stumbling block. And so what is the stumbling block that you could be putting there? That's the first part of the verse, which says,
therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another.
So rather than passing judgment, this is misunderstood so many times, like, well, you can't judge me.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, come on, really? It's like, this is more of a case that it's like, a better way to say it is think the best of your partner,
mm-hmm.
not the worst.
Mm-hmm.
That's passing judgment is thinking the worst or thinking bad of or assuming the worst or assuming. And we know that assuming is hurts marriages, hurts
right.
relationships. And so check your assumptions
right.
and really seek to believe the best in and hope for the best in your partner. And when you think the best and hope for the best for your partner, you will avoid setting the trap that will mm-hmm. cause them to stumble
right.
going forward.
Right.
And a lot of conflict comes from that root.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So for you, I as an example, for you, I know that, and I am the same way, is that some days you and I may have conflict or butt heads, and I've had to over the years just think, you know what, hold on a second, what kind of day has Teresa had? And maybe I need to be a little bit more aware and conscious and sensitive to kind of what you've faced previous to our conversation.
Sure.
And previous to our interaction or conflict. That's helped me a tremendous amount to think the best of you and to think, okay, she doesn't have this evil intent with this.
Right.
I need to slow my roll, think the best of her so I don't end up setting a trap.
Right. Good stuff. All right. Number two is going to be seek unity. Seek unity. And the verse for this one is going to come out of 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10. It says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that all of you agree with one another, so that there may be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought.
So if the first one was think the best of your spouse, the second one, when seeking unity, is to think the best of the situation,
right,
and of the circumstance.
No divisions.
Of the context. That's right. Mm-hmm. You're thinking our context, which is our marriage, we're going to seek to say, you know what? Our disagreements do not mean that we have division.
Right.
Our conflict doesn't mean we have division. We're still unified, but we're going to wade, because we're unified, we're going to wade through this and face this challenge head on.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that's only going to be natural because of you're two different people. I mean, we joke a lot that we share the same brain, the same mind, which after coming up on 28 years here, that's marriage. We've been together now almost 32. So we've known each other for a while.
You mean like when you wanted pizza the other night and I'd already been thinking, I wish we could have pizza tonight. And then you say, you know, what I was thinking is that we would get a pizza tonight. And I'm like, oh.
How'd she know?
We'd share the same brain. Yeah. Oftentimes it's about food.
A lot of times it is. But anyway, but seeking unity and just knowing, now I lost my thought.
Oh, sorry.
Just knowing, hold on a minute, that you're two separate people. Mm-hmm. And so you're going to look at things from time to time with your perspective or a different perspective. And that could be based upon just who you are as a person, your personality makeup, just different things like that. So, but it doesn't mean that there needs to be division within the marriage just because you each come at a problem or a disagreement from a different angle, right? So seeking that unity, no divisions. The third point that we want to make with peace is kindness and compassion. This is a verse out of Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. It says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you.
Yeah, sometimes we forget that, right? And we see couples that forget that. It's like, for various reasons, and a couple of them can include, you know, if I don't look out for myself, no one will.
Right.
So it's kind of a selfishness, but it's a self-preservation as well.
Yeah.
And then out of that, then comes this mistreatment of the other because of that mode, position of defensiveness. And rather than saying, you know what, we're as you say so well, so many times, it's about the usness. It's about that we're together in this. So when you mistreat your partner, you're mistreating yourself.
Right.
So kindness and compassion can lead the way and win the day.
Right. Very good. All right. What about number four? Number four is have patience. Have patience. This will help you.
Why do you say it that way?
Because that's me. I don't do very well always with patience. So have patience with one another, right? Patience and peace can go hand in hand. So let's read the verse though. Colossians 3:13 says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. So having patience with one another and recognizing, like you said, that sometimes we don't always put ourselves in our partner's shoes, looking at it from their perspective, taking into account the awareness of what else is going on in their day or what else is going on in their week. And while we're not saying that you should just excuse anything, we are saying that when you're looking at the marriage as a whole, as a unity, right, as the usness, that you have to be willing and able to be patient and be forgiving with each other. I mean, if you're not, then that's really going to be damaging to the relationship.
Well, and it says it well there at the very beginning, bear with one another. And that does not, that in fact, that verse insinuates there'll be something that needs bearing.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
How did they know?
That's like,
how did God know that that would happen in 2021?
That's right. So why would the verse be there if it didn't have a purpose? Bear with one another. If it wasn't something to bear or to carry or to endure, then so here's the deal. Your partner, your spouse is going to have something you have to bear. Up and you have to put up with.
That's right.
And so that's what a great reminder to have peace with one another. Sometimes it's overlooking minor offenses. And in fact, that's a lot of overlooking minor offenses.
I was going to say, we talk about that a lot with our couples, especially. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, because we're technically, you're offended every day.
You can't.
I mean, like. No, not you can. We are.
Yeah. Every
the
day,
reality
one
is,
can have a reason to be
one
offended.
One can have a reason to be offended every single day in your relationship. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I don't know. I mean, I can do the calculator here and take 28 years times 365 days in a year. Yeah. Let's see how many times I've been offended.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
So,
or that you could be offended.
Or that I could be
You've
offended.
You've chosen not to, but you could choose
but
to be
offended.
But
the offenses are happening. Mm-hmm. The offenses are there. Yep. It could be as simple as, I mean, the toothpaste cap was left off the toothpaste, right? And I mean, we know that this can be just the boiling point for some people. What we want to try and help people understand, though, is that that would be a minor offense, but if you haven't taken care of, you know, thinking the best to avoid setting a trap, seeking unity, being kind and compassionate, being patient, the next thing you know, the little cap on the toothpaste tube has set off World War III. You know, I mean, like, that's just,
that's right.
That is the reality of it. Yeah.
So we teach Dr. John Gottman from the Gottman Institute has written that 60-70% of offenses are overlooked by healthy couples.
Right.
So healthy couples learn how to overlook exactly what you're talking about.
Overlook and navigate.
Overlook and navigate. That's right. So 60-70% of offenses are overlooked. So
you can
discern. So healthy couples have the ability to discern what is a minor offense and what is a major offense. And so first thing they do is that 60-70%, they learn how to overlook and to be able to say, because it's not an avoidance issue. It's be able to say, hey, these are my expectations. This is what I want more of or less of. This is how it would make me feel. And then be able to move on from it. But then to be able to focus on the things that are really, really important, that 30-40% that needs resolved. There needs to be
absolutely
a conclusion on it. So absolutely to be able to overlook minor offenses, bear one another's
grievances.
Bear with one another.
Right.
All
right. And finally, the fifth point for peace with one another is watch your tongue. Watch your tongue. And this verse comes out of James chapter 4, verse 11. It says, brothers, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against his brother or judges him speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it.
Yeah, watch the tongue.
And when it's talking about brothers there, like, we're putting it in the concept of a brother or sister within within Christ and just within your marriage, in your relationship there.
Yeah, whenever you see that, it's those that you're closest to.
Right. It's not specifically about a brother.
That is a term of endearment.
Yes.
Is what it is.
Yeah, but do not slander one another. So the slandering is what we're talking about with watch your tongue, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Which kind of goes back to, you know, last week's episode when we talked about how to edify one another, and particularly, you know, where we talked about the movie reference and, you know, use your words, Parker, you know, type of deal. Do not slander each other. That truly is not going to help you to have peace with one another. Nothing's going to set off more conflict or disharmony within your relationship than to have a third party all of a sudden interject. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what your husband said about you the other day, mm-hmm. or you know what your wife said about you the other day, and then, you know. So, watch your words and do not slander one another.
Resolve to never speak ill of your spouse to another. Mm-hmm. And I understand, folks, that if you feel like you need to have a confidant, someone is like, where can I go to turn? But be very careful how you can kind of express or work out the frustrations and challenges you have from your marriage with other people. 'Cause be careful inviting in. And so I think of like the scenario where guys who may joke, quote unquote, about their old ball and chain at home and what a burden their spouse is, and it's like, nope, don't even joke. Don't even, because it's in jest, but you really, there's a seriousness to it. Or for the ladies.
Or women, when they talk about having, you know, their husband is like a child or a child to them, I have two kids and then the big kid, you know, and insinuating like that, that he's, he is the same capacity.
Just a child. Yeah.
Just a child, you know.
The other area is like with children, even young children, older children or adult children, never speak ill of your partner to your children.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have the capacity to process.
To process
that
and understand.
Adult world kind of challenge, right?
Right.
And you don't want to slant the view of your children towards their other parent.
Sure.
Right?
Absolutely.
And so to resolve the watch your tongue, and the final area that I'd point out, so it's outsiders, children or family members, and then the other is even to your spouse directly, watch your tongue with, be careful with sarcasm, be careful with name calling, be careful with
belittling
or harsh words. Don't try to use your words in order to win the game of the argument. That's just, or manipulation even. Mm-hmm. That's your partner. Mm-hmm. Learn to resolve the conflict in a positive way.
Right. So to go back over those five points that we wanted to make, how to have peace with one another. Number one, think the best to avoid setting a trap. Number two, seek unity with each other. Number three, have kindness and compassion towards your partner. Number four, be patient. Be patient and forgiving. And number five, watch your tongue and do not slander one another.
We figured that before we wrap up today and just the last few moments that we have with you all, we're going to talk about a couple practical tools. And so the first one being is we're going to just offer, and this is a quick one, quick hit, how to take a timeout.
Mm-hmm.
And then before we wrap up the rest of our time, we're going to share how to negotiate as a team.
Mm-hmm.
And so how to take a timeout, honey, what do you think? What kind of scenario and what does it even mean to take a timeout? Because we've worked with couples who say, well, listen, Mabry's, we take timeouts, but we never come back to the issue ever. So what does it look like to properly, when should one take a timeout and what does a timeout look like?
Right. So first of all, you have to recognize the emotions and what physically is taking place within your body. So when you feel yourself like getting too angry, if you're clenching your fists or you're just, you know, your heart starts racing or, you know, you're breathing too fast, you're getting red in the face, like whatever it is for you, those are all physical reactions with your emotion, right? And what's happening within your brain and what's taking place. So when you're in that state, it's never a good thing to try and solve something. And so if there's a disagreement going on and you're getting more ramped up and ramped up, that would be the good time to say, you know what, I need to take a timeout. Mm-hmm. And you can call for the timeout. And then the obvious thing is the other person needs to be willing to like let the timeout happen. Okay. And that's where we run into struggle with like our couples when we coach couples, right? It's like the other person wants to keep going. Well, they didn't call for the timeout. They want to keep going. But if you want to know how to best seek unity, how to be patient, how to, you know, have an usness within your relationship, it takes great practice and discipline, but having that timeout period. Now, during the timeout period, that can be for just, it could be 30 minutes, it could be an hour. But during that time frame, you need to find something in a healthy way to just kind of like cool yourself back down, go take a walk, go take a, you know, jog, like separate, get away just alone for a little bit. And then while you're in the timeout, you're just processing about, okay, what, like we said already, what is going on with the disagreement, maybe the state of mind for the other person, what's also been happening with their day, looking at it from their perspective. But in taking the time out, it's important, like David already shared, you've got to resume the conversation. And it must be resumed within usually a 24-hour period. You just cannot be gone for like days or weeks and then be like, okay, yeah, you remember that one time and we never really resolved it. So
I would say too, is that to keep in mind that let's go back to having a tool and having permission to use it. So the encouragement is that for everyone to, for both people in the relationship to recognize that a timeout exists, that opportunity, that tool is available and you have permission
to
that
use
either
it.
One of you have permission at any time, not as a weapon, but as a real tool to help. Cause you're like, I'm not able to resolve this conflict right now because I'm in my emotional brain instead of my thinking brain, which this would be a good time to introduce quickly the idea that there are two rooms in your brain. One room is your emotional room and one is your thinking room, and you cannot set up your chairs in the emotional room to resolve conflict.
Right.
You want to move your chairs from your emotional room into your thinking room, and a timeout helps you to pick up your chairs and move them into your thinking room so that you can too can sit in that room and resolve the conflict in a positive way.
Right. And typically, even the research has shown, even with like a brain scan of a person who was angry, even just like 3 to 5 minutes of a separation and having that timeout actually moves all that into that thinking part, as we call it. That's not the technical term for that part of your brain. But yeah, so having the timeout, being able to call the timeout when you recognize these things happening, and it's for the sake of being able to resolve this disagreement and then returning to the conversation, you must return to it. And when you return to it, now we're able to process a little bit better about what's happening and what needs to take place.
When you return together, there's a great tool that we want to offer. And we're just going to introduce it real quickly because I suspect that we're going to probably have an entire podcast just on this tool. And that is to how to walk through the process of resolving conflict in a positive way. So let's say that both of you are in your thinking brains. You both are kind of, then you both have sought to understand the other. And that's a key element where you can say, you know, here's my perspective. And then your partner, you can repeat back and say, okay, I hear you saying your view on this is this. Did I hear that correctly? And then you can affirm that. And then the other partner has an opportunity to look and say, well, okay, so here's my perspective on this specific issue. And then you repeat back. Once again, it's seeking to understand where the other's coming from. Then after that, and the two of you have named the issue, and without blame, you're like, hey, here's the exact issue.
Right.
Sometimes conflict is not solved because you're fighting over two different issues. Mm-hmm. So make sure that you, even if you have to write it down together,
right,
and say, yes, we could put our finger on it. That is the issue right there. So once it's named and established, and both sides are for the most part understood, what's that next step that couples should take? Like if you have an issue with me, honey, we're having a conflict, and you're saying, and we've established that, what do you give next?
Well, then we give the options I've considered. And so the options I've considered are, and you would list off, like maybe you have two or three different options. And even if one of them is just completely absurd, right? So like your clothes are all over the bedroom floor, right? And mm-hmm. it's a constant ask and blah, 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 and all this stuff. And so like, you know, the conflict is that there's tension over the order and cleanliness of the bedroom. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've named it, right? And so mm-hmm. now it's okay. The options I've considered are, you would at least put your clothes away like twice a week, or there's a chair in the corner of the room and that would become your chair, and you're allowed to put your clothes like on that chair. You know, so that's another option. And then there could be another option that I'm going to bag up all of your clothes that are left all over the place and put them out by the curb to be taken out with the trash, right? I mean, that's an absurd yeah. option, right? I'm not mm-hmm. going to do that. But it brings some levity mm-hmm. to the conversation, and just to kind of like have a little bit of like, okay.
But make sure that's appropriately placed levity.
Yes,
because if someone's keyed up already and they're like, what?
You would put my clothes out? Right.
Okay, let's move. Yeah. To the thinking brain. Right.
Or you know, option number four, like, I don't know, you have to move to a different bedroom. I don't know. Like, go ahead.
And the option is that you would do it yourself. Like,
right,
like,
exactly.
Which,
right.
And once they're listed, that's the key, is mm-hmm. that the one who's trying to seek a solution and take the lead on it, they're like, here's the challenge I have, mm-hmm. and here are the options I've considered for solving this, mm-hmm. these issues, A, B, C, D, and E, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so the statement we love right after that is what?
The one I like best is, so the one I like best is you putting your clothes away at least twice a week, mm-hmm. you know, on this day and this day or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you like the best? So now you pose the question to the other person, mm-hmm. and your response then would be?
That's right. And the talking stick then comes over to the other partner. And I would say, you know what? I hear you saying that A is your favorite mm-hmm. option, which is for me to pick up after myself, a couple times a week,
mm-hmm.
and we're just summarizing for time's sake.
Right.
And what I like, I like that option, but the option I've considered is that maybe one day a week, so Saturday mornings, I make sure that things are cleaned up best. And so you would come back with maybe, or you would agree to that on the mm-hmm. spot, and
sure.
then it would go back then again, negotiation wise. And so then it would go back to the one bringing it and say, well,
I like that option. But I would tweak that option a little bit and say, okay, during the week, your clothes, the option I like best during the week, your clothes are on the chair. Mm-hmm. And then on Saturday morning, you fold and put away or clean up mm-hmm. All the clothes that are on the chair.
Yeah, I like that.
Do you like that option?
And I can agree to that.
Right.
And then what you would do as a couple is you would agree to a agreed upon mm-hmm.
solution
for that. And then it's very important that you mark a time for evaluation. You
right.
say, you know what, let's circle back together in a month and find out whether this would work for us, right?
And or then 2 weeks or whatever it
and
is.
And what this right. shows is an enormous amount of emotional and relational maturity that mm-hmm. you can process the conflict in just a kind of, let me hear you out. You hear me out. We have a difference of opinion on this. This is frustrating
right.
to me. And then you can kind of process that a little bit more. Now, we have to put a warning, if you will, mm-hmm. on it, or maybe a caveat. And, if you will, I think some out there, hun, will hear this and say, that sounds pretty pie in the sky. Like, mm-hmm. I'm Absolutely. Not going to do that. That sounds so rigid. Mm-hmm. And so it's, and what we would say is, here's the thing. How's it feel right now dealing with conflict in your relationship? And we would challenge you to work an uncomfortable exercise mm-hmm. for a season until that muscle of conflict resolution, that healthy conflict mm-hmm. resolution right. is built, so that it's not so awkward.
Right.
'Cause Teresa and I, at this point, we don't go through a rigid step-by-step, okay, honey, let's negotiate a win-win. No, we've learned our muscle, our conflict resolution muscle is built to the extent where we can actually have these sort of conversations about ouchy issues, challenging right. issues, struggles, stressful issues, where we can actually come to a conclusion. And it may not look so rigid, but if you're not used to doing that, you're going to have to be rigid for a season,
yep.
right?
Yep, absolutely. And that's a great point to make. We recognize, you know, like, yeah, it's not, it sounds robotic and it sounds non-emotional and all these other things. And it's great practice. And trust me, like, I am an emotional being. And so like, you know, having these types of conversations, sometimes, yeah, the emotion can still get going and get in mm-hmm. there, but recognizing that this needs to be a win-win for both sides. Mm-hmm. And then when you come back to evaluate how's it going, we're keeping in mind the fair game rules, right? Mm-hmm. And not, you know, looking to like just belittle your partner or whatever if yeah. they haven't been doing it. But you may find that it's a win-win and it's going along great. You may find that there's another tweak to it that you want to make and you want to go over that. But mm-hmm. but ultimately, yeah, you're just trying to find that best how to negotiate and have peace with one another.
You may find that in your marriage, you may be having some conflict and it's challenging for you to walk through a tool like this. It's challenging because you find yourself taking timeouts all the time mm-hmm. and not resolving right. conflict. We want to encourage you to reach out to find help mm-hmm. and to have a marriage counselor, a marriage coach. Mm-hmm. Teresa and I offer that service and we would encourage you to reach out to us. We'd love to help you even if you're at a distance from us. We can have a Zoom call or find someone local to you or someone mm-hmm. that you trust. Maybe there's a counselor or a pastor that can work with you and help coach you through. Definitely, if you're going to find someone, though, find someone that's going to help you, that's going to teach you.
Right.
And they don't want to put you in sessions for like years on end, but they're right. like, you know what? Let's help you grow from where you're at to where you're going to teach you great skills and help you coach, help coach you through that. So, this is not everything to be said about conflict either, mm-hmm. and we will mm-hmm. in future podcasts be walking through how to resolve conflict in a positive way, right. but today, hopefully, this gives you a good start. So learn how to and practice having a timeout and negotiate for that 30 to 40%. Overlook minor offenses. Focus on that 30 to 40% that are really important.
Right. So there you have it, folks. That wraps up our Love Step series that we've been doing, talking about how to love one another, serve one another, touch one another, edify one another, and have peace with one another. We're so glad that you have joined us for this podcast today. And if you have not caught the other podcasts in this series, please go back and give them a listen, as well as subscribe, rate, and review. We really love to get the reviews. If you find it helpful information to you, we would love for you to post that review on whatever social media platform you are listening to this podcast on.
And we especially like iTunes.
Yeah, we do. Right.
Rates and reviews. Hey, next week, join us again as we return to Love Step, mm-hmm. and we're going to teach you a practical tool that we give to most of our couples called mm-hmm. Love Step Goals.
That's so right.
Basically, a regular communication tool that you can use mm-hmm. to grow your relationship so it can be more satisfying and strengthened and that you can have greater influence on those around you.
That's
so
right.
We will see you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.